Okay, we're on Pisgah Kaf Hei, in Ein Haya, Masechet Shabbat, Daf Yud Aleph, Amud Aleph, Rav Kook's commentary on the Agadot in the Gemara. Okay, it says as follows: Va'amar Rava Bar Machsia, Amar Rav Chama Bar Gurya, Amar Rav. Kol ir shegagotea gvohim mibet haKnesset l'sof chareva. That any city whose roofs are higher than the roof of the shul, of the synagogue, in the end, that city will be punished and will be destroyed. Shene Emar brings a pasuk from Ezra, L'romem et beit Eloheinu ulamid et charvotav. Okay, as opposed to the charavot, the destruction, L'romem et beit Eloheinu, we want to raise the house of God. By the way, most of the people noticed that in the Arabs, Lahavdil, have a similar custom, that they build the mosque. They're supposed to build it the highest, and that's why they got angry when the Rabbi Yudah Hasid, the Churva Synagogue, became even higher than the mosque, which is right next to it, on Rehov Chabad.
They got mad because he didn't pay his bills. Anything they would have gotten paid for would have been good enough.
Okay. Anyway, Amar Avashi, Ana Avdel Mata Machti Del Rechava, we'll do that next time. Okay? So Rav Kook explains as follows. Vahani Mili Bivate Aval Bikishkushe Vaavrure Let Lanba. This halacha is only regarding houses. In other words, that the shul is supposed to be higher than any other house, any building. But kishrushre avrure, Rashi explains, beraniotu migdalim, perush binyanim asuyim lenoi. If it's just buildings which are built for beauty, I don't know what the Eiffel Tower was built for, but if there's a building which is just built for beauty, just for the sake of being a tall building, then that's no halachic problem. All right, that's no halachic problem. The only problem is for the shul that it should be higher than the houses. Okay, Rav Kook explains as follows: Amud ha'olam mitkayem bashchasha shel adat amitit shamerkaz hayoter gavua v'nisa shebachayim hukdushat hachayim l'shem Hashem yitbarach kol maaseh hayu l'shem shamayim. Rav Kook explains that the symbolism here is very clear, that the tallest, the biggest thing in a person's life should be his spirituality, right? The building of your spiritual service should be higher than the building of your job, the building of where you live. Kol ma'asecha yu l'shem shamayim. That everything that you do in life should be l'shem shamayim, even the buildings that you build. Now, this idea of kol ma'asecha yu l'shem shamayim, anybody who's learned Rambam, and anyone who's learned Rav Kook knows that he bases a lot of his thinking on the Rambam, it automatically rings a bell that the Rambam, at the end of Parakeh of Shmone Prakim, goes crazy over this quote of Kol Ma'asecha Yu L'Shem Shamayim. He writes as follows.
What's the original source?
It's Kol Ma'asecha Yu L'Shem Shamayim. It's in Parakeh Avot, Parak Bet, Mishnah Yud Bet. וכבר כללו החכמים זיכרונם לברכה, זה העניין כולו בקצרה. This entire chapter in Shmona Prakim, the Rambam is writing, the rabbis, our rabbis, succeeded in summarizing it in a very succinct way. במילות מועטות, in very few words, מורות על זה העניין הוראה שלמה מאוד. These very few words teach a long and large and big lesson, a very important lesson. עד כשאתה תבחן המילות, איך סיפרו זה העניין הגדול והעצום כולו, אשר חיברו בו חיבורים ולא ישלימו. It's unbelievable that this topic of how to serve God with everything that you do, which really deserves and needs so much detail, the rabbis succeeded in summarizing it in this one sentence. תדע שנאמר בכוח אלוקים בלא ספק. This sentence was said with Ruach HaKodesh, with the Spirit of God, without a doubt. Vehu amram b'tzva'otehem, and this is what they commanded us, v'chol ma'asecha yu l'shem shamayim. Everything that you do should be for the sake of God. Now, the Rambam is not an emotional writer. And here is very yotze min haklal, very excited about this term, where it's also in Perek Bet or Perek Gimel of Hilchot Deyot, the Rambam spends an entire chapter on this idea of how everything that you do in life should be l'shem shamayim. B'chol drachecha da'ehu, and everything that you do, know God. He gives the example of how to eat l'shem shamayim, and sleep l'shem shamayim, and work l'shem shamayim. And here also, Rav Kook is saying that the symbolism, that when you come to a city, you look up. What do you look up to, figuratively? You look up to spirituality. And that's why the shul is supposed to be the highest of all buildings. In other words, serve God even through the height of your buildings. Right? See, height can be something very important. Zehu hamakom hayoter nisgav she'elav tzrichim kol inyanei achayim lifnot. This should be the highest part of life that we should all be looking towards. Al ken, im be'uma yisraelit, she'shem Hashem yitbarach she'nikra aleinu, hu kol kiyumeinu v'itzdainutenu, bedor zgula elohit ba'olam. If our job as the nation of Israel is to bring God's name, the names of God we mentioned in the past, is His attributes, the ideals that God represents, to bring them into the world. Im nekudot chiloniot yaseh chalila b'lev ha'omar ramim v'nizgavim. If we have secular buildings, which, with all due respect, and especially remember, Jews are supposed to live in Eretz Yisrael, where buildings in Eretz Yisrael are spiritual. Rav Kook, it is nothing against building good, big, tall, strong buildings in Eretz Yisrael. Nevertheless, the Beit Knesset, the synagogue, has to be even more. And this is something that Rav Kook used to mention very often. I know young people, when I teach Rav Kook, very often forget this point. That on the one hand, everything is holy. Right? There's holiness in, like we said, in your food in the Eretz Yisrael, and there's holiness in the army in Eretz Yisrael. Everything is holy, but yesh, like we say in Havdalah, between Shabbat and Yom Tov, lavdil ben kodesh lekodesh. Not just lavdil ben kodesh lechol, that's pashut. But even within kodesh, there are different levels of kedusha. And that's why it's true that a building in Tel Aviv or Yerushalayim, a secular building, is holy. Nevertheless, if it's a shul which is holy, a synagogue which is big and strong, that's even more. Lavdil ben kodesh lekodesh.
Do we take this instructional height literally, or can it just be a more impressive structure? As in, I don't know how it. Do we bring this down lahalacha?
This is brought down in the Shulchan Aruch lahalacha. We don't have time to get into the different shooting which were asked even here regarding the yeshuv. The water tower had to be taller than the shul, or in a higher place than the shul. And that's why in every place, every rav has to paskin the halakha, exactly what, where, etc.
Always you get skyscrapers as shuls.
Right, and nechon, what are you going to do on Shabbat? Go right. Walk up to the 100th store?
Shabbat's
uh-huh.
Elevator.
Okay, so, im nekudot chiloniot yasu chalila b'lev ha'umar ramim v'nizgavim. Right, with all due respect to secular topics, yes, they are important, but you have to keep them in the right proportion, in the right position. Yoter mi'ashifa shekdushat brit Hashem she'imanu, right? If you live in a city where the secular buildings are taller than the shuls, she'alzem more binyan beit haKnesset b'tor mikdash me'at gam be'eretz galutenu. Here, Rav Kook is also ironically mentioning, right, with the nickname of a Beit Knesset is Mikdash Me'at. A small Beit HaMikdash. But a small Beit HaMikdash is greater than the greatest skyscraper. Okay? It's an interesting way of putting it. Gam Be'eretz Galuteni, even when we were in Chutz La'aretz, where there is no holiness of place, there's no Kedushat Makom anywhere, except for in the Beit Knesset. And here Rav Kook is stressing the importance of the holiness of the Beit Knesset, even in Galut. Harei notel beze kol yesod ha-mekayem va-mechayet ha-umah b'chayut ha-elokit shela v'tushlach emet arza. Right, so how much more so when it's up to us? When we're building the buildings in our land, we should decide priorities. what's more important, what's less important. Yeah.
Was he saying here that, like that, when he's talking about Gamba Eretz Galuteinu, I didn't quite grasp what he mean. Is he saying that also in Galut that shuls are larger than other buildings?
They should be. On the other hand, historically, it didn't work out that way, because church of the Christians wanted the church to be taller, and the Muslims, they have one of their, it's a halakha by them, a law, a Muslim law, that their mosque should be taller. So we really couldn't mikayim. We couldn't, how do you say?
Fulfill
this throughout the Galut, although it does apply.
That is what he's saying. He's saying that also in Galut that one should make a shul.
Correct. But it really doesn't. It really doesn't depend on us. It's not in our hands to do. In our land, when it is in our hands to fulfill, then for sure. And that's why it talks about what is the punishment. The punishment is churban. Right? What is churban? Churban of Eretz Yisrael. We're talking about a national calamity. Because if the nation does not have the right priorities, that's a national calamity. Right? When we talk about the tragedy of churban, of destruction, we're talking about the destruction in Eretz Yisrael. And here Rav Kook is very nicely connecting it with the kiyum, the fulfillment of this, really historically was only in Eretz Yisrael. Connecting it with the punishment that was brought here. What do you want to say? Somebody want to say something?
There's a real problem that... you know, when I was a small kid, they said the tallest building is the Empire State Building. Then, you know, a few years later, in one of those little Wrigley Weekly or something, before the Twin Towers, what is the tallest structure in America? It is a television tower in Roswell, New Mexico. I don't know what it is today, but the television towers are probably the tallest structures, and that is... That says something about our modern culture in a negative sense.
It's interesting.
Was the banks that are the most temple-like?
Al ken, kol ir shegagotea gvoim mibet haKnesset lesof chareva. Lehorot, this comes to teach us, shehadu'uda shel bet haKnesset. The role of the shul, sheavodat Hashem yidbarach, where we serve Hashem, hu hamakom hayoter gavoa shebechayim, shekol pinot haChayim apratiim kulan elav yifnu, Val yadav yit'alu v'yit'romemu. In other words, here Rav Kook adds on another point, that the idea of height is a central focal thing. Right? When you arrange in a class picture or in the basketball team, you always put the tallest guy in the middle, and from there you go down. Right? It's a focal point.
It's a symmetry.
Sorry?
It's a symmetry.
Right, exactly. It's a symmetry. That the symmetry of, there are many things in life, b'chol drachecha da'eyu. Right? Parnassah is important. And your house is important. And your field is important. And eating is important. And sleeping is important. And everything's important. But the pinnacle, the peak, the climax, has to be spirituality. And that is the spirituality of life. This is the pinnacle of life. And this is something that Rav Kook in the next paragraph is going to stress. The idea of the Beit Knesset as something living. Not something... symbolic. Ubeze mitmashechet tachlit hachayim likdusha ulitzedek b'chol aruchoteihem. When you have at the climax of that symmetry something spiritual, right, then that gives priority, that spirituality, also to the other levels. Here Rav Kook is tying it in very nicely with that b'chol drachecha da'eyu. That's why I mentioned the Rambam before. Because the Rambam says this is Judaism, b'chol drachecha da'eyu. And that's why Rav Kook is stressing the importance and why the punishment, if the shul isn't the highest building, why it's so severe.
I mean, I feel like these are things that are said about the Beit HaMikdash all the time, but I've never heard it said about a shul.
Yeah. That's an interesting point.
If the spirituality is what's so crucial, why are we expressing it in such a physical way? I mean, you know, a shul in a miklat, in a bomb shelter down below the ground, it can also be very spiritual. Right?
It can be spiritual. On the other hand, we live in a physical world, and we have to express things in a physical way. Right? A person who doesn't kiss his wife, doesn't express physically something which he feels internally, something is missing. Right? The same thing when we're talking about building the Beit HaMikdash. And again, the Shul is a Mikdash Ma'at. The Holy Temple was made out of gold and silver and diamonds and the breastplate, etc., etc. And the idea is, B'chol Drachecha Da'ehu. And Rav Kook is going to talk soon about the idea of the place of beauty. Okay? You'll see he does a beautiful thing here. Vayahan Nishar B'tzion V'anotar B'Yerushalayim Kadosh Yomar Lo. And here Rav Kook, it's unbelievable how many different ideas he can put into one paragraph. He gives a very beautiful original commentary in the Pasuk in Yeshayahu Perek Dalid, which says, literally it says, that that which remains in Zion, that which remains in Yerushalayim, will be called holy. What does it mean, that which remains? Because if you don't make the holy the apex, then nothing's going to remain. But that is that which is going to remain. And the importance, we're not talking about in Yerushalayim that everything is going to be destroyed except for the shul. But that shul, or the Beit HaMikdash, from that apex, gives importance to everything around it. Again, another aspect, but here Rav Kook is of the same idea, but here Rav Kook is expressing it in an original explanation of this pasuk. V'nei ha-yesod ha-ikari ha-nitzrach lo'orot al gdulat erech ha-torah v'avodat Hashem ומצבם הרם בחיי האומה הישראלית בכללה ובפרטיה, צריך שיהיה בולט שאין הוקרתנו הקדושת ברית השם אשר עמנו קדושת תורה קדושה, בא אלינו מפני חפצנו לקשט את החיים בקישוט החיצוני של האמונה והדת. Here Rav Kook is so typical for him that he deals with a detail of the halakha that nobody else ever explained philosophically. Why are you allowed to have these decorative buildings, the buildings which are not meant to live or to work, but they're just like, figureheads, decorations, that is allowed to be taller? Interesting question, right? I didn't see anybody relate to this. Rav Kook says, this comes to teach us that the Torah is not decorative. The mitzvot are not symbolic. It's not ritual.
They're real.
They're real. It's living. And that's why it doesn't bother us at all. You want to put something decorative higher than a shul, that's no problem. Because that's in a totally different ballgame. That's a totally different planet.
Adarabha. It's non-functional.
It's non-functional. The shul is supposed to be functional. Just finished the point. Kmo sheyeshnan umot vekatot ka'ele, shelo yuchlu litalei mipulat rigshei hadat alibot haklal, ve'erkam besidrei hachevra enoshit. He said there are certain religions and certain cults or certain zramim, certain streams. I don't know if he's referring here to Mordechai Kaplan in Reconstructionism. I don't think it was around at the time when he's writing this in Boisk. Al-Kain, or Mordechai Kaplan lived in the, he overlapped with Rav Kook.
Yeah,
but Al-Kain, yachziku et inyanei ha-emuna v'tochen avodat Hashem b'madrega gvoha, aval lo be'etzem ha-chayim, ki im b'madregat kishut v'tachshit chitzoni la-chayim. Christianity sees the church is something very traditional, symbolic, right? The steeple, the height. Rav Kook stresses that's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about something symbolism, right? This is a little taller than this, right? That would be symbolic. And there is sort of symbolism here. But the main thing is, if you look at, I mentioned Reconstructionist Judaism, because, and I don't want to get into a whole discussion, it's just an example. They look at tradition, they call it folkways. Just like eating gefilte fish is just as important as making Kiddush on Shabbat. They tell the story of Mordechai Kaplan, the father of Reconstructionist Judaism, that he used to walk around with a handkerchief around his collar on Shabbat because there was no Eruv in New York. So they asked him, you know,
what do you care?
So he says, this is the way Jews walk on Shabbat. This is our tradition to wear a handkerchief. In other words, the mitzvot, he doesn't get into Mishkan, he doesn't get into Lametet Melachot, the symbolism, Doraita, Dorabanan, the beauty, the living Torah. The same thing, tefillin. He put on tefillin, but there's something the Jews do. There's symbolism just like gefilte fish. What?
It would be empty.
It would be empty unless we put it. It's something symbolic. By the way, Rav Kook takes it even a step further. And this is something we saw last year, that Rav Shimshon Raphael Hirsch, who deals with the mitzvot, he calls them smalim, in an English translation, symbols, that the tefillin symbolizes this and tzitzit symbolizes this. In his book Chorev, it's all based on symbols, Rav Kook came out very strongly against him. He doesn't mention him by name, but it's very clear what he's talking about. In Orot HaKodesh, there are several places where he says the mitzvot are not symbols. It's divrei Elokim Chaim. It's living. When you put on tefillin, it gives you an energy of godliness. Tzitzit, lulav, etrog. These are not symbols. You can look for tamei mitzvot, for the reason the mitzvot, the Sefer HaChinuch suggests, and the Rambam suggests, and everyone suggests different things that it could symbolize. Rav Kook says, it is godly. It's something which is alive. And this is why we couldn't care less if a symbolic building is taller than a shul. Because a shul, anything Jewish, that's a totally different league. We're not into folkways, not into ritual, right? But into life. Okay? Not kishut v'tachshit chitzoni l'chaim, like these decorative buildings. That doesn't bother us. V'zot ha'adracha hi ra'a me'od, u'mevi'an nezek v'efsed nora l'matzav kedushatam shel Yisrael. She'yesod Torat Hashem asher itanu hu she'kulam le'a chukei chaim. V'nikrei Torat chaim. The Torah is called the Torat chaim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is called Melech Hafetz b'chaim. Judaism is alive. The Torah is alive. There is energy in every mitzvah that you do. And that's why those groups, or those religions, who look at ritual and symbolism, that is just drying up everything. And that's not what we're talking about. And that has nothing to do with the Jewish Beit Knesset. That's why you want to build a nice building out of Lego. It doesn't bother us, even if it's taller than the shul. Okay. As a matter of fact, Rav Kook, I'm pretty sure that he's also referring here, Are the Karon is Lechatchila, in the time of the Beit HaMikdash, we didn't have Batei Knesset. The ideal is to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu through a life of Torah, through a life of godliness, not through ritual. The idea of ritual, of coming to a shul three times a day, that's Bediavad. That's not original Judaism. The original Judaism, look at the Ramban and the Rambam, when is tefillah, when is prayer, midoraita from the Torah, is when a person wants to speak to God. Like Rabbi Nachman in Breslov writes a lot about daber elav, speak to him. Like Uri Davidi has a song, speak to him, speak to him. I once had a student of mine who asked me to try and find a chatan for her, very nice girl. I asked her, what are you looking for? So among the things that she mentioned, she said, I want somebody who talks to God in his everyday life. If the car doesn't start, he should talk to Hashem. Right? If the something spills, he should talk to Hashem. And that is the Torat Chaim that Rav Kook is talking about. In other words, it's true. After the rabbis were mitaken, how do you say mitaken?
Instituted
the idea of building a shul, do it properly, do it big, do it respectfully, etc., as the highest building, right? But, parenthetically, life, Torah is life. It's how you eat. It's how you deal in business. It's how you deal with your family. It's how you sleep. It's how you dress. It's how you talk. That is Torah. Shuls, Christianity, builds a lot around the church. Islam builds a lot around the mosque. We do not build a lot around the shul. In Galut, in the exile, of course, the Riverdale Jewish Center, that is the center of Judaism. And that's where you have your weddings, and that's where you have the basketball gym, and that's where you might have the swimming pool, because that is everything Jewish. That's where you want Jewish boys to meet with Jewish girls, and everything revolves around the shul. Because your life is not holy, your job is not holy, the trees are not holy, the newspapers are not holy, the army and the taxes, nothing is holy. So what's holy? Your shul. Ein makom l'shchina ela arba amot shel halacha bilvad. Ohev Hashem sharei tzion, mikol l'shchina, that's only talking in chutz la'aretz chazar doresh, where? In the Beit Midrash. Beit Midrash is holy. Beit Knesset is holy. And that is a twisting of the original Judaism. Interesting what is going to be in the Beit HaMikdash, and when the third Beit HaMikdash is going to be built, my educated guess is that we're going to have like national tefillot through internet. In other words, that everyone, all Jews throughout all Eretz Yisrael, there won't be Jews abroad, so it's no problem what the Jews in Australia will do.
We'll plug into the Beit HaMikdash.
Exactly.
The
they'll plug into the Beit HaMikdash and we'll see the Kohanim ba'avodatam, Levim b'shiram v'ram.
Will they be able to put video cameras inside the Eichal?
As far as I know, I don't see a reason why not to. But that's my educated guess. It's not the main point of the lesson, so don't... but it might be a good idea to be the first one to design it and
get a
foot
in.
Yeah.
There's still going to be some old guy who's going to want to say Kaddish.
Okay. You know, it'll be interactive. Yeah, different channels. Have a Karlbach channel. Okay. So again, to summarize this point, Rav Kook is saying, as opposed to the decorative churches and mosques, that's not our topic whatsoever. We're talking about Torat Chaim, not decorative things. Alken, and I think it's a beautiful explanation of this idea why you are allowed to have decorative buildings taller. Alken lo b'tor tachshit chitzoni l'chaim tzarich lechabdao lehokira. שבזה לא תמצא מקום כי אם בעיתים מזומנות, ומקומות של פומבי והליכות סדרים מקושטים בפערים חיצוניים. That's not life. Life is not wearing a tuxedo. You don't wear a tuxedo at home. You don't wear a tuxedo to work. You don't wear a tuxedo when you're working on the plumbing or in the garden. Tuxedos, that is not life. That's once a month, once every 2 months. Rav Kook is going to talk pretty soon about the British and their over-mannerly. Ke'im tzricha hi shetesader et etzem ha'chayim ha'yisraelim miyad Hashem Elokim chayim. Again, Rav Kook keeps repeating the idea of chayim. Torah, Beit Knesset, it's all alive. By the way, that's something a lot of Balei Tshuva, sometimes when they come to shul, and they compare it with the churches that they see on television, or, you know, chas v'shalom, they ever attended a intermarriage, and they know at church everything is clean, and everyone's quiet, and you could hear a pin drop, and everyone's respectful, and they come to a shul, and sometimes an Orthodox shul, for sure, you know, the Reformed Dafka copy, you try and copy the churches, but you come to an Orthodox shul, and you see, you know, people come in, people sneeze, people, you know, throw, exactly, the throwing of the candy.
Kids are running around.
Yeah, you have a kid come up and say, Anim Zemirot, and Yimloch, and this and that, and they sell Aliyot, and it's, and that's a very non-Christian idea. Rav Kook is saying, thank God, we are a living Torah. And part of life is candies. And part of life is, you know, singing and money, and yeah.
Well,
not a museum, exactly.
Yeah, the Christians have the story of Yoshka chasing the money changers out of the temple.
Yeah.
Right. Uh-huh. In the airport, once this lady said, she's like, Yitzchak, I'm so angry. Why are you angry, Yitzchak? For this? She's like, there are things that God has granted Ishmael. He's like, all those rabbis are just trying to get money for Yitzchak.
Yeah. Slicha. Okay, Lashrish Zebe Kishkushi Vavruri, Shem Binyanim Shel Yofi Vekishut Levad, these decorative buildings, Lo Bahak Peda. It doesn't bother us that they're taller.
They're just Kishkushim.
Yeah. Shelhoye Beta Knesset Gavoa Mehem, Lo Roche Musageno Beta Knesset, Shua Machon Le Kibbutz Avodat Hashem Yidbarach, Varamat Koach Emuna Virat Hashem Belvavot. Again, Rav Kook is stressing, it's something emotional. Sing, dance, it's alive, it's Torat Chaim. Eino miminam shel kishkushi v'abrurei. I didn't notice. That's really, I think Rav Kook is making a play on words of the kishkushim. It's a lot of bell ringing.
Maybe Chazal making that.
Yechal yot. Shehem shimushim shel kishkushim. I think I'm going to make a note of that. סליחה. ואין ליתן לבית הכנסת יחס נערך להם עד שיקפד בגופם יותר. אמנם, בית הכנסת נערך, how do we rate a shul? בערך עומק גוף החיים הישראלי. Here Rav Kook also is, why does he mention the word עומק, the depth? Depth is the opposite of height. Our topic is the height of the Beit Knesset. On the other hand, we know that it's brought down lahalacha in the Shulchan Aruch, mima'amakim kratich Hashem, that the chazan, the person who's leading the prayer, he's supposed to daven from a low place. Rav Kook is saying that the depth is also very important. That's how we measure a shul. From the depth, omek guf hachayim yisraelim, ke'erech batim ha'ikariyim, mekomot hachayim be'atzmam, v'alihem u'mitromem. We look at the buildings of life. And the shul is the apex of the buildings of life. It's among the buildings of life. It is not a building of decoration, of ritual. Lahorot shematarat klal hachayim u'pirtehem, the goal of life, and the goal of the details of life, yashuvu l'tachlit avodat Hashem, v'shem Hashem shenikra aleinu b'chlal ha'uma. And this is the idea that God's name is upon the Jewish people. He's called Hashem Elokei Israel, God of the people of Israel, of the nation of Israel, who brings godliness into every aspect of life. That's our topic here, into our politics, and then have a godly army, and a godly economy, and a godly everything. Umistaef l'prateha. And it branches out to all of the details. Al ken, midakdeket Toratenu Akdosha bechol pirtei hachayim, mimana afar Yaakov, ki ani Hashem rofecha, ki rofe shemidakdek im hachole al kol pirtei taluchotav, mipnei shu mesader lo et ikar chayav. Here Rav Kook is without a doubt relating to the famous mashal of the Kuzari, the mashal of the Ksil bebet hamirkachat, of the fool in the pharmacy. In Sefer Kuzari, in Ma'amar Aleph, Piska Ayin Tet, where he talks about the details of the mitzvot, why are the details of the mitzvot so important? And this is something that Christians and Ba'alei Tshuva, somebody who's new to Judaism, wants to know why we have so many details. You have to say Kriyat Shema by a certain time, you have to daven by a certain time, and cover a certain up to the elbow of the shirt of a woman. And there's so many details of the laws of Shabbat. And he says that this is like the fool who comes into the Beit Mirkachat, into the pharmacy. He comes into a pharmacy of a famous doctor. Everybody knows this doctor heals everyone. At a time where the doctor or the pharmacist isn't there. He sees a big line outside, and everyone's waiting to get their drugs, and he wants to help. Right? Problem is the road to hell is paved with good intentions. This guy, he wants to start giving out drugs. So he says, you're blonde, I'll give you a bunch of yellow pills. You're tall, I'll give you the tall pills. You like blue, I'll give you blue pills. You take three of these, five of these. And the same drugs that could have and should have given life, they can kill you. Right? You give too much or too little insulin to a diabetic, you kill them. And Rav Kook says, this is the Kuzari, and that's what Rav Kook is quoting here, says that is the same thing with the details of the mitzvot. The mitzvot are like the details of vitamins, that you have to be exact, but what is the goal? And that's the chidush here that he's adding onto the Kuzari. That's what gives you life. And if you do it wrong, that's what gives you death. Right? And that's why people ask, does it really make a difference if my tzitzit, if I have 8 tzitzit or 9 tzitzit, or if some of the tzitzit are torn and it's puzzled, does God really care? The answer is, ask a doctor if it really makes a difference if you take 9 pills, or take it for 9 days, or for 10 days, or for 15 days. And that's why for every korban, sometimes we give a male korban, sometimes a female korban, sometimes an ox, sometimes a cow, sometimes a goat, and every detail is exact, and that, here's the chiddush of Rav Kook here, is what gives us life. Again, Torat Chaim, not kishut, it's not the cream on the cake, but this is life. Lo kmo pedagog shemelamed lenar halichot nimusiyot chitzoniot. Not like those people. Rav Kook was in England, but not yet when he wrote this. Maybe he added on later. But there are certain cultures which overdo the Derech Eretz. Derech Eretz, manners, is something good. And just like with anything, when it's done in the right proportion, say please, say thank you, say excuse me. These are good, positive things. And Rav Kook in other places talks about it. On the other hand, he says there are a lot of pedagogues, secular teachers, who spend so much time on telling you on the Queen's, what do they call it, the Queen's protocols, and, you know, how to eat with your fork, and how to drink this, and how to do that, and how to sit up straight, and not to put your foot on. And Rav Kook says, that is not a Torat Chaim. We are not into that. That's for the Kishkushe. That's for the Aburi. Those are those tall, decorative buildings which decorate life a little, but that is mamash, not life.
And in modern world, the television antenna that I mentioned is a tremendous mashal because it has absolutely no depth.
Interesting. Shelo yivga b'mkomot amuchusim shebachayim. That pedagogue who goes to teach the child the, how do you say nimusim?
Politeness.
The polite is the word that I was looking for. That does not touch life. Again, in other places, Rav Kook says, basic politeness in Derech Eretz obviously is good. That's the Raman Hilchot Deot also talks about that.
But getting tied up into the little details of which fork to use and everything.
Exactly.
Doesn't really matter.
Right. And here Rav Kook comes out against it. That's the decorative buildings, which are so insignificant, we don't even take them into account halachically. Vayachas lebet haKnesset im kishkushe vabrure im biraniot omdot rak lenoyu lepeir hu davar mashchit kol yisod chayei oma yisraelit. If you were to compare the living shul of the living nation of Israel with these decorative buildings, that corrupts everything that we stand for. Shebnuya liot dveka baHashem Elokim chayim. Again, I didn't count how many times Rav Kook mentions chayim in this piska, but that's what keeps coming back. Bechol dracheha valichoteha, in everything that you do, lo al yedei prachim shel tzitzim novlim, not through flowers that very quickly dry up and are not and even lose their beauty. Yavesh chatzir navel tzitz udvar elokenu yakum leolam. Here Rav Kook again offers a beautiful, innovative, original explanation to the pasuk in Yeshayahu. Flowers, growing things, they dry up. But the word of God, the ideas of God, that stands forever. Because that's life itself. It's not something external. Vayofi vayidur yavo rak le'erich nitfal. And physical beauty and decoration comes as something secondary, may even thirdary,
tertiary.
Right? In other words, here Rav Kook, and we're already used to this zigzag, on the other hand, Rav Kook is, after putting down for 20 lines the importance of decoration and the things, he's saying, I'm not totally degrading it. There is a time and a place for beauty, but it's tafel, it's secondary. When is physical beauty something good? When it awakens something internal. We're into the internal. We're into the living. And God created the world, as we said before, in a way that the physical beauty can make an attraction that can enhance and should enhance the metaphysical, the spiritual. Just like between a man and a woman, so too in relationship to a shul. A shul should be nice, and should be tall, and should be imposing. And if you can, don't just daven in a miklat, in a dirty, in a bomb shelter, right? As the Gemara in Masechet Shabbat. Ze'ili v'anveyu. This is my God, and I will make him beautiful. How do you make God beautiful if he doesn't have a body? Chazal explained, do the mitzvot beautifully. But why? In order to, not symbolic, but in order to initiate, to motivate a inner hitpa'alut, How do you say hitpalut?
Exuberance.
Sorry? Exuberance, a living experience. Avat Hashem vedat rachav u'shmirat torato. That of love of Hashem. That of knowing the ways of God, of being merciful and kind and true and strong, etc., observing the Torah, ke'erech noam hatam, like the sweetness of the taste, lumat tachlit hamazon, lachyot bo nefesh kol chai. Just like when we eat, taste is something nice. It's something that adds taste to life. And it's good that, and it's healthy that the food should be tasty. Nevertheless, the taste of food is like a decoration to the vitamins that he mentioned from the Kuzari before, which is life itself. The erech tizunati, the nutritional value of food, that's really what food is about. Don't get hung up on the cream. Don't get hung up on the salt or the pepper. There's nothing wrong with adding a little ketchup, but keep it ketchup. Not the main thing. Don't let it get in the way of life. Life, just like in food, life is the main idea. So too in Torah mitzvot, life is the main idea. Judaism is not a religion. That's what Rav Kook is saying here. Judaism is not a religion. It is life itself. It is godliness itself. It's more than a way of life. It is life. And there's a lot of important ideas here in this piska.
So there's halakhically, the things that compete with the unfavorably with the Beit Knesset would be the houses that people live in and the places where people work, the monuments and
that's the word I was looking for before.
And houses of Avodah Zorah have to be torn down anyway, so they're in another category that those don't count. We destroy them anyway.
Avodah Zorah has paganism has to be torn down. Monuments, if they're
monuments,
not religious monuments,
which are not
it doesn't bother
monuments,
us.
A statue of Abraham Lincoln or something.
Yeah.
So we're talking about things that have to do with people's lives as opposed to the ultimate life.
Exactly.
Correctly. I certainly didn't understand the words, but if I understood the Rav's explanation correctly, the pasuk from Yeshayahu, the Vayah Hanishar B'Sion Ranatah B'Shalayim. I didn't understand what it says, but I believe that the explanation that you gave was that if the shul isn't as tall as the other buildings, then the shul will get destroyed and everything else will get destroyed also.
That's from the Gemara.
Okay.
Right.
All right. In other words, it seems to be a warning. You don't want to lose the real stuff. So make sure that the shul is bigger than the real stuff, so that it doesn't get lost, so everything else doesn't get lost. So I think I have two problems with that. First of all, it suggests that everything else is the real stuff, and we're just using the shul as a means towards protecting the stuff that we really want to protect. And if you don't want to lose the stuff that's really important to you, make sure that the shul is higher.
Adrabba, let me relate to that. The exact opposite, what Rav Kook is saying, that Dafka is a good way you worded it. All of life depends on life, on spiritual life. And that's why if you lessen spiritual life from the apex, then all your life is going to lose its meaning.
Why word it in such a way? Make sure that your shul is more important so that you don't lose the other stuff. It should be that, it seems to me, don't focus on that stuff. It's like putting, so to speak, the fear of God into you. You don't want to lose this stuff, and therefore just make sure that you keep things in proportion.
Right, but
that it doesn't seem to go according to Kol Ma'asecha L'Shem Shemayim.
Again, the idea is lavdil ben kodesh lekodesh. There is an apex, which is very clear that that is connected with the other things to bring holiness to every aspect of life. And if you lose the apex, then you lose everything. That doesn't mean that the goal is the other things, but the goal is everything. But that everything needs an apex, needs a center. It's like the whole world is important. Like the Kuzari says, the whole world is like a body, but Am Yisrael is the lev, it's the heart, right? There's no comparison. The heart is central. Without a heart, the other appendages are meaningless. The same thing, the shul is not everything, and the other buildings are not as important, but without the heart, then all of life is missing its essence. What was the second thing you wanted to say?
That was all.
Okay.
There was another point.